Like, we've literally been decorating for 4 hours.
We just did construction.
Just like, welcome back to Bob the Builder. Come on, take a ride. We're here by your side. Sit down, shut up, and grab a drink. You're healing with the Disco Queens. Hey guys.
Hey.
Welcome back.
Welcome to Healing with the Disco Queens.
The Disco Queens. I'm Susanna.
And I'm Alex.
And we are your Disco Queens this evening.
Mm-hmm. And every evening.
Every evening. Watch us every evening of the hour.
All the time, we do.
Yeah, we do. I'm our biggest fan, actually.
We are actually our biggest fans.
Yeah. I have been publicizing this little podcast to, like, literally everybody. Please listen. No, because it's so great, and we just think we're hilarious. So.
Absolutely. So if you don't know or this is your first episode, that is okay. Let's catch you up super quick.
Yeah.
So we are... Who are we?
We are therapists, first of all. Music therapist, art therapist, as professions, but we're also BFFLs, celebrating 10 years this year.
Yeah.
And so that's really the whole reason of why we decided to do this podcast in the first place. It's all about navigating your 20s, figuring out who you are. I don't know.
Yeah, no, absolutely. Like, this is the podcast. If you need a break from the world, here we are. We kind of are funny. I think we're hilarious.
We are. We are hilarious.
But, you know, I think that your 20s is such a weird time to try to navigate. And even more so, like, I just feel like the world's getting faster and just there's so much going on personally, worldly. Like, there's just a lot and it can feel overwhelming.
Yeah.
So if you need a good laugh or you just need those older sister figures or you need a girlfriend, here we are.
We're here.
Yes, so...
Let's get into it. Okay, so as you can see, if you've been keeping up with us, we have changed our background.
Guys, this is a learning process. Yeah. Like, we have no idea what we are doing. So it's fine. Life is a learning process.
Yes.
And we are trying to make things a little bit more permanent, so we're not hauling, I'm not hauling 7 bags into Susanna's house.
Because, like, right now, as you heard from the first episode, Alex and I still do not live in the same town.
No.
And so this is all still, like, our little sleepovers, and, like, we just play dress up and get to talk about things.
Apparently being Bob the Builder.
We are Bob the Builder. We did fix it. It's so beautiful. Yeah. Honestly... Kudos to Alex, my little art person with 8 art degrees. She's just fantastic.
Because I am art.
She just knows how to use rulers and math.
We
it
know,
comes with art.
We know math.
We love and math. I can count to 4. That's my job. You can scale things. I can count to 4.
Perfect. You may tread and fall off your couch, so.
Yeah. Yeah.
We are. So yes, we're slowly updating. So definitely watch our videos because you just keep, there's going to be little Easter eggs, little pop up here. I don't know.
It's a learning curve.
We also get bored.
Yeah.
So things change a lot.
Exactly. We may think one thing and then another one develops, but hey, we just said we have kept up with this. So here we go.
Absolutely.
We love
I think
it.
Last time we called ourselves Healing with the Disco Squirrels.
Yes, exactly.
So we've got new decorations, but always tried and true. We always have our theme drinks, so let's get into what our topic is today.
So the drink today, we have our classic old-fashioned. Cheers. Mm-hmm.
I love that we have to do these tastings on here because I definitely always make faces.
I know.
I'm like.
Because some of these drinks, I mean, we have like the Dirty Martini, obviously, straight up vodka. That was episode 2. Episode 4, we are having the old fashioned, which is basically straight bourbon with a little flair. And tonight we are talking about setting boundaries.
Interesting. Bum, bum, bum. It sounds so, like, taboo almost. But yeah, setting boundaries. And the reason that we chose the old-fashioned was a couple of things. So the name in and of itself, I feel like setting boundaries is not the old-fashioned way. It's not the traditional way, like, especially back in the 70s, right? Yeah. Like, women couldn't speak for themselves. Like, people just normally kind of went with the flow, went with society, went with the up-and-coming, what was happening. The hippies were the ones who wanted to be themselves, and they were outcasts, you know, basically. So I just always think, like, you know, setting boundaries is all about just kind of being yourself, getting into your skin and, you know, and setting your expectations.
Well, also, you know, I think going off of the idea of, like, old-fashioned and being traditional or, like, and especially, like, kind of the area we're in, this idea of this is how it's always been done, this is what is expected of you, and sometimes, because I work with trauma, sometimes those aren't the best environments for you. And so, like, as we're developing humans, as we're breaking generational curses, and we talk about generational trauma, like, not just on, like, a personal, but even just as a societal stance.
Yeah.
That it's okay to
break the molds.
Yeah. So we're going to get into it in a few different facets of your life.
So with our old fashioned, the ingredients are very simple. Hence setting boundaries. It's a very simple task. The ingredients are sugar. Traditionally, it's like a sugar cube, and you muddle that with bitters. And the reason we chose bitters is because a lot of times when people set boundaries, people think that you are being bitter or you're being mean, right? And it's like, no, because also with the old-fashioned, you have the sweetness of the cherry. Not totally traditional. I like mine with a cherry, so we're having a cherry tonight. And the sugar.
It's our show.
And then you have the little orange, the little citrus zest. And so it is like, you can be kind, always be kind. You don't have to be mean, but it's like, it's not a bitter thing to just kind of set expectations for yourself and, you know,
and
set those boundaries.
Right. Well. Yeah. So to our episode title tonight.
Yes.
This one, listen, it took us a hot second for us to find this.
Yeah. It's a hard topic. I feel like people don't really write songs about that unless it's about a breakup.
You know what? That's so funny because I was thinking ballads.
Yeah.
I was like, all these ballads, but like, there's not a lot of disco ballads, and also, I don't know. Anyway, so tonight is Right For Me from Funky Town.
Funky Town! As we were looking at the lyrics, it's pretty much the same lyrics over and over. Like, if you really look at it. But there are a couple lyrics that stand out, and it's talking about wanting to be in a place that's right for you. Gotta make a move to a town that's right for me. And it's literally all about, like, doing things that are right for yourself.
Right. So we're gonna take you to Funky Town tonight, and let's get started.
Perfect.
So, last week we took you to therapy. Welcome back. Here we are. So, let's talk about what is boundary setting. What does that even mean?
Exactly.
Like, I feel like it's thrown around a lot.
Yeah.
Kind of like that idea we talked about, like, friendship and levels, and there's all these things that are called, like, pop psych, and it's all these little psychological terms that people are like, ooh, yeah.
And, like, popping on that, right?
Right. Like, and that you connect to it, and also, like, let's just, you know, what does that actually mean? What can it look like? Because it can look 100 different ways.
And I think also, like, with boundary setting, a lot of people, you know, may have, like, certain boundaries. And yes, we have, like, soft boundaries. But what does it look like when there is conflict? And you have to set a boundary with somebody and it is uncomfy. How can we do that in a healthy way? How can we do that, you know? I'm still answering these questions for myself, but we'll get into it.
No, but like, seriously, I think that's first of all, we're all human too. Mm-hmm. And I don't know, I definitely think that it's okay to still be answering these questions because they're gonna evolve with us.
Mm-hmm. Yeah.
So, like we said earlier, kind of in our intro, this idea of boundaries aren't this like arbitrary, mean, nasty thing. This is something that when you are in a situation, whether it's with a relationship, whether it's a friendship, whether it's your family,
yeah,
whether it's
career,
your career,
mm-hmm, we're gonna talk about all that.
There's going to be times that you are going to feel affected by it. It's not this just, like I said, it's not an arbitrary thing. It's not this, oops, I just woke up one day. It's like, no, I am physically dreading going in today. Mm-hmm. And I'm physically getting sick. And it's just, it's not, you said it's uncomfy. It is uncomfy.
It is.
And when is enough enough, you know? And that's only you can decide that. Mm-hmm. Mm-hmm. So.
Yeah. And I think too, like you said, when we are in this uncomfortable feeling, I am probably jumping the gun, but it's fine. We morph. We go
we morph.
Around. We go around the circle. So I was like talking with this guy one time, and I had this odd feeling. And you know when everybody's like, oh, I have butterflies. Fun fact, folks, the butterfly feeling is actually anxiety. Mm-hmm. So when you feel a lot of that nervousness, the tenseness, the butterflies in your stomach around somebody, it's because your body is signaling something. Mm-hmm. And I didn't know this until something bad happened, right? And so it's like listening to yourself. Why are you dreading going into work? Why are you dreading talking to this person? Why are you not wanting to hang out with this group of people?
You know what? That reminds me of something else that we mentioned a couple times. Because here's the thing. We're not giving advice. We're just here chit-chatting, talking about things that we like to talk about.
Yeah.
Probably because we've mentioned this a few times, but this is as much our therapy. Like, doing this is we're confronting things that we also have trouble talking about.
Yeah, actually.
And are, like you just said, I'm actively trying to figure out how do I do this? How do I do boundaries with certain people?
Yeah.
And yeah, one of the things you said that brought up in my head is trusting our instinct. And like, I feel like with boundaries comes a lot of mistrust with ourselves. Because, and so therefore we gaslight ourselves like, oh, yeah, it's not that bad. And you were talking about a job. Which we're gonna, you know, we always jump around, but I think, like, with your job, for example, if you're, like, going in, it's like, oh, it's really not that bad, or it's not really that bad, or I really need this money, and it's like,
yeah,
okay, I always talk a lot about when did we cross the line of, this is just unpleasant, because nobody, like, would I rather sit on my couch than go to my job, probably.
Yeah, yeah.
Versus, I'm calling my grandmother every single day sobbing because I don't want to go to work. Where did that line, where does the line cross of like, hold on, I don't feel mentally safe here. Like, I don't feel physically safe here. Mm-hmm. Every time I go home, I'm upset or I'm mad or I'm screaming or I'm crying. Like, when do we cross that? Okay, like, so we had an argument at family supper, cool, versus I feel like crap about myself every time I'm around my family. You know, like,
yeah,
not personally, that's a hypothetical.
Right.
Before my family listens to this, like, how dare you?
No.
How
actually,
dare you?
We're not. We don't out anybody. But
no,
it's just in general. And, like, I think that's just it, is like a boundary is listening to yourself and figuring out your needs. Mm. It's figuring out what you need, what your body needs. And, you know, we wrote down like women specifically, like, not to dig too deep, but I think women specifically have dealt with issues with boundary setting in history currently. Like, I mean, let's just be real. But it's figuring out, like, what we need. And the biggest thing is, like, if I don't want to do it, then I shouldn't have to do it.
Well, I think that goes on the idea. Right. We're going to get into advice later, so you're going to hear this again. But no is a full sentence. I love that quote. Like, no is a full sentence. And I think that we are part of a generation where, I mentioned this last time too, you're just going to hear the same, some said the same things.
Because, yeah, sorry. It all morphs.
But that your grandmother told your mom that told you. And so things that my grandmother experienced, my grandmother was in her 20s in the 60s. Things that she experienced during that time frame, I never had to experience. I didn't have to worry about. And so, like, this idea of boundaries, it's developing our own autonomy over our bodies and our minds and our thoughts and our spaces.
Yeah.
And so if it's this person, I don't know about this. Like, I don't necessarily like how you're talking to me, you make me feel unsafe, then guess what? You don't have to come into my space. You don't have to be around me. And that sounds rude, but we're gonna give some examples. So
yeah,
you were already talking about some relationships, and so, like, I think that's when, looking back, I always felt like I had fairly good boundaries with, like, my friendships and just not necessarily that I was always the person to speak my mind, because I wasn't and I haven't been. I only recently in my late 20s have I been more like, hold on, nobody's gonna speak for me except me.
Mm-hmm.
Mm-hmm. Nobody's gonna say anything, and so I have to figure out. And that was such a, and it took me until my late 20s to really start standing up for myself. And so some of that did come out of relationships and learning the boundaries of, like, wait, this is not what I want. This is not healthy. Like, I don't know. And, you know, I think we compare a lot of things to our upbringing and things that we experience. I was like, oh, it's not that bad. It's gaslighting ourselves.
Yeah. But it is that bad.
Yeah.
You know? And I think that's interesting with us having been friends for, you know, a decade. And only just the back half. Like, I didn't know Alex, like, as a kid, you know? And seeing your growth with the way that, just the way that you speak, the way that you carry yourself, the way that you show your expectations now is so incredible compared to what it was.
I'm gonna cry. Stop.
Good.
It.
Oh, no. Good. We're healing.
No, but like, yeah. But yeah, like, I, well,
and I agree with myself, like,
I agree.
I agree.
You agree. You're really pretty.
Yes, I agree. So you agree. Mine's more so with friends.
Mm.
And yours has always been more so with relationships,
yeah.
I feel like.
Which we, like,
We got
into, like, if you haven't listened to our second and third, we go over a lot of relationship stuff and relationships in our 20s, but also friendships in our 20s, and the sense of, like, friendships that end up breaking apart, because that's going to happen.
Yeah.
With, I always think of yin and yang, of it, with the in comes the out, with the good comes the bad. So, like, you're going to have friendships that are no longer your friends at that time, which can be sad, but go ahead. That's where you come in.
Yeah. So, it's just very difficult, I feel like, sometimes to navigate friendships, because it's so, like, you want to hold on to this person, right? Especially if you are intertwined with them in so many different avenues. I think we talked about this in the friendship one, but it's so much easier to deal with a breakup than it is with, like, a breakup friendship. because, yeah, you just can break up with that person and you either move on or you don't or whatever comes with that. But with friends, it's like somebody I used to know situation, but like you see them with maybe a friend group that you were with, mm-hmm. and it is hard. And so it's hard for me to face conflict. Mm-hmm. And I think for me, in setting a boundary, I just remember one in particular where I felt uncomfortable in a conversation that I was having with a friend of mine, and other people were there. And I just said, like, hey, I'm not really comfortable talking about that. I don't really believe in what you're saying. Like, can we move on, basically?
This was not me.
Obviously not, because you wouldn't do this.
I'm over here like...
No, and they...
Scratching my brain.
Yeah, they kept talking about what I had asked. And so, that's an example, everyone. I'm pushing a boundary. Like, for me to even verbalize that was like, I don't even know what I'm saying right now. It's coming out. And I'm freaking out. Yeah, exactly. But I couldn't take it anymore, and I felt super uncomfortable, and I had to do something about it. That's a prime example. It's not that hard to just be like, hey, can we just move on? Like, I'm...
Right, like, let me just change the subject.
Right.
Like...
Boom, done. Done. Okay, great. Moving on.
Right.
It's not hard. And so I think... But that was even recent. Because friendships previous to that was like, I wouldn't address anything. I wouldn't address any elephant in the room. I would just deal with it. Or I would try to just people please. People please my way out of things.
You said, happy Halloween. I'm gonna ghost.
I'm gonna...
Goodbye.
Also that. Goodbye. I'll just disappear into the ether, like... That's not the best. But, you know, also... Here's the thing. I am the biggest advocate for... You do what you gotta do. You do what you gotta do. If that is your way of just, like, exiting... Setting a boundary of like, hey, you know what? I don't really want to be around this person anymore. There is nothing wrong with that.
Period.
We like talking.
That's the hobby.
I like to talk.
We force.
Did you ever get in trouble in elementary school for talking?
Yeah. No, all the time. I distinctly remember. Yeah. I 100% remember. I had to flip my card. And I remember walking over.
That's so triggering.
And I like walked over and I had tears just sobbing. And I was like, I promise I'll be quiet. I promise
I'll be good.
I swear. I swear. That was me. I was
dude,
like,
that's so crazy that we're like actually talking about this right now, because I was going to talk about boundaries. And how it is like setting expectations. And I remember being a teacher and everybody had their rules, right? And like their rules. Cause like you needed to post like your rules and expectations in your classroom. I, being the, you know, creative brain and also kind brain that I am, was like, I don't want to be like, sit down, shut up, sit down, shut up and grab a drink.
To children.
To children. Yeah.
Matt, don't grab your juice box.
No, I did an acronym for creative dramatics, which is what I taught. And I did an acronym of like, I don't even know. Like,
was it create?
It was like create, respect, educate. Like, I don't know. I just came up with words for each letter.
Yeah, I just made up words.
So basically, it turned into me having like 20 rules. Like, however long creative dramatic spells, that's how many. Basically, I just wanted everyone to be kind to each other.
Just be nice. Like, can we all just be nice? She doesn't even go here.
I try.
Let me tell you, I have one rule. I mean, I have the understanding of we respect each other, but like in like actual session, I have one rule, and it's really only with my younger ones because we do sticker charts. It's talk about boundaries in therapy here. Mm-hmm. When your therapist has boundaries.
Yeah.
But my little ones, like, I do therapy with kids from 4 to 22. Like, I've seen everything in between. And so, like, my 12 and under, I ask, as they get older, I ask if they want to do a sticker book. But my younger ones are like, yeah, stickers. And I have a few older ones that are like, oh, yeah, like,
stickers. I'll get a sticker. I'll get a sticker.
I was like, I'll get the cool stickers. I'll get,
oh, my gosh. The ones that have glitter on them now.
Mm-hmm. So, my...
The stickers are cool nowadays. They were not back in the day.
Yeah, no, well, anyway.
Anyways.
And my one rule is... If Miss Alex has to tell you something 3 times, you lose the sticker. So they can earn 3 stickers in session, mm-hmm. doing all the different things and, like, talking about feelings and all that stuff. And so if Miss Alex has to tell you something 3 times, then you lose a sticker. And at 10 stickers, you get a prize. And I've got all kinds of prizes in my office and stuff like that. And there's been a few times that kids have lost stickers, and I'm like, I'm so sorry. Like, I'm so sorry that you're upset. Mm-hmm. And I know that it's extremely disappointing because you were really excited to get that sticker.
Yeah.
And also, you can't throw things in Miss Alex's office, and Miss Alex told you 3 times to put your shoe down.
Right. Right.
Or to, most of the time it's things like that. Like, I'll, like, they're, like, throwing things, or that doesn't happen a lot. But it has happened a few times, and I only have to take the sticker away once, and I've done that a handful of times of, okay, this is, and 3 for me is a nice, like,
Well, I feel like having that reminder too is like a third reminder.
So
in an hour, you're talking.
Yeah, so this rule actually came out, speaking of boundaries, I'm going to come back to family.
Yeah.
This came up with one of my siblings. So, when my brother was little, he just wanted to run around all the time because he was 6, right? But how do you teach 6-year-olds boundaries? Like, how do you teach them responsibility and also, like, have this kind and understanding?
Yeah. Without getting on to them. Because I think that's a big thing as far as, like, you know, parenting, teaching, whatever. Mm-hmm. When there's an adult figure in place, like, you know, over a child, mm-hmm. it's always, like, getting on to a child or whatever. Mm-hmm. But there's a way to set the expectation, mm-hmm. have a rule or whatever.
And consequences. Consequences are important.
Yeah, yeah. And that's just, it's learning a... Learning from actions. I mean, we have consequences as adults,
right?
But my landlord's not going to come over here and yell at me.
Yeah, you broke a dish. How dare you?
Yeah, or like, you didn't pay rent, like, or whatever. No, they're just
gonna... You're right. They're going to kick you out.
Yeah. And that's a consequence.
No, I just realized I might not be in
front. Oh, I think you were.
Okay.
So
that came out because of one of my siblings. And... the first time, you may not have heard, you might be doing something, you know, when your parents would be like, hey, I need you to go do this, and you weren't paying attention, and then you got in trouble, and now you're grounded, and now you got your phone taken away, and now there's all this yelling and screaming, and you're like,
bye.
So, first time, you might not have heard me. The second time, you might not have, but by the third time, I've asked you, like, what are we doing? Like, that you know that this is a test, or maybe you forgot because he's diagnosed with ADHD, and I'm like, buddy, like, I totally get it. Like, I'll leave the water running and completely forget.
Yeah.
And then come back, and I'm like, oh, crap. And so, like, that gives that grace and understanding of, like, hey, like, I respect your time. Please respect my time.
Right.
And also, like, I work with you. You work with me. You know what?
Right.
And so, like, yeah. That, I don't know if that was boundaries or not. That was therapy. Mm-hmm. But, like, circling back to, like, boundaries and therapy, that was actually a really hard thing for, like, my mom to, like, start doing because we are so raised in this idea of, like, you're going to listen to me the first time or it's disrespectful.
Yeah.
And I'm like, I mean, there were so many times I would get in trouble because I was actively doing something. Like, I might have been doing, like, my homework. Mm-hmm. Or I was reading. Or I was outside playing. You know, like, and I was not engaged.
Yeah.
With the conversation. And so, and I think that I see that a lot in therapy of, like, a lot of times we can talk on surface level of, like, you just got in trouble, you got your phone taken. But sometimes that would lead to very detrimental and toxic, just these people learn that I can't do anything.
Yeah.
And so now they're adults, like, I can't stand being around my family. Mm. But, like, I feel guilty for not being around my family. And I'm like, it's okay. I'll be the first person to say that it is okay if you don't want to be around your family.
Yeah. Yeah.
Because it can bring up a lot of things. We already talked about generational trauma earlier. And, you know, there's so many thought constructs mm-hmm. that are passed down. And so when you're someone who is actively trying to better their mental health, better their mindset, we might not think in the same way that our parents do, and that's okay. Mm-hmm.
And time period.
Yeah.
We're in a whole other time period now, and I, like, just thinking about that now as an adult, I know we had talked about this, like, as we were making our little outline, but having an adult relationship with your parents mm-hmm. now. And so, it's funny because the other day, I was like, My parents came to stay with me over the weekend, and I live in a one bed, one bath apartment. I wanted two bedrooms, but not in this economy, LOL. So, you know, it's fine when it's close quarters, but it's my parents. And in the morning, like, I don't know what was happening. It was just like a lot, like a lot was happening. I was also dealing with, like, technology issues and blah, blah, blah. It was just a lot. And I'm like, doing deep breathing at this point. And my mom was like, why am I stressing you out? And I was just like, I'm just, like, you know, like, yeah. freaking out. Because it's like, how do I express, this is how I'm feeling, this is what's happening. Like, maybe now is not the time to just, like, give me ample amount of information, like, or whatever. Like, I need time to process and breathe and wake up. Mind you, it was 7 a.m. or 8. I don't even know what time it was. But yeah, and so it's just things like that. Like, that's an example of, you know, kind of like the relationship I have with my mom is now it's like, you're my friend and also you're my mom and you provide guidance still, but it's that kind of like, give me a minute.
Well, yeah, I think that that's something in your 20s, you're switching from literally being under someone's roof mm-hmm. to now becoming an adult and like...
Yeah.
Your 20s are such a transition period. I swear, I feel like I lived like 5 different lives in my 20s. Like, I've always been very independent. I moved out as soon as I graduated. And so, like, I always felt like I was really independent. But then, like, things came up during college. And I had bad boundary issues in college. Like... Just,
I mean, same.
There, and I think that's part of it's growing of, wait, I have freedom? Mm-hmm. I have freedom? What am I going to do with this? And also, I think in some ways, like, you, within that transition, you still, not necessarily want to be treated like a kid, but you want the knowledge of, like, I'm still cared about like I was as a kid. If
yeah.
that makes sense, of like somebody right. still worried about us and still wanting us to be around. Like, I still wanted you to, I want you to ask me to be around, but like also, like, I have my own life.
Yeah.
Like,
yeah.
Literally.
That's so interesting, too, because like it's this weird dynamic, just like 18, you know, if you move out, like, because some mm-hmm. people just work and they still live with their parents or whatever, but like if you move out, at 18 and you are considered an adult, you're still a child. Like, you're yeah. still navigating life. You just left, right? Mm-hmm. And it's like, you are having to figure out things yourself. You are having to navigate all these things by yourself, figure things out. And, like, I just know when I grew up, my parents had a lot of, guidance for me, and like the friends that I had, or the environment that I was in, or like groups that I was involved in, or what have you. And so it's like, okay, well, if something wasn't going well and I came to them for help or came to them for guidance or whatever, like they were always there to bail me out in some sort of way. And so now it's kind of like, well, they didn't even know some of my friends that I had, like, in college. You know what I mean? And so you're having to navigate these friendships and navigate life yourself. Like, I had a really bad... I still kind of have a trust issue, but I had a bad trust issue when I moved to St. Louis. I worked with this guy, and he stole a device of mine. So it was just kind of like that, figuring out the hard way. Like, you can't trust everybody, you know, or you can't just like let everybody into your life or whatever.
I was about to say, that goes into like last week's video of like, who were your tier one friends, tier two, tier two, so on and so forth. And, but also like, as you get older, I think that for you, St. Louis was a pivotal point in this topic of boundaries. And I was trying to think if there was like a specific time. I think mine also kind of started coming out of this is, and I'm going to say this and try not to sound like Bon Jovi, but it's my life. It's my life.
It's now or you knew it was never.
coming. I'm going to live forever. Anyway. So, but, like, in the most genuine and, like, respectful way, because I think boundaries, like we said earlier, boundaries can come off rude and mean, and I think that we are kind of programmed that way because, well, I was raised by a bunch of people pleasers, so, I think you were too, boundaries mean.
Yeah, exactly, and it's like... The older I get, the more I realize that knowing yourself, being comfortable in your own skin, like, you are the one who's going to have your back. So you have to have it. You have to have your back. Because other people out there are not going to have your best interest. They're going to break you down. They're going to push your boundaries. And you may not even know what some of those boundaries are until something happens. Because I've had that happen, where I've been in a relationship and something will happen, I'm like, I don't like that. Actually, I don't like that.
Right, and now we don't have those skills.
Right. And so I'm like, well, now I know that. Like, I know. I don't like it.
I don't like
it. Don't do it. But, yeah. And it's a learning curve, you know? You build up these walls. And I feel like that, like, as kids do have boundaries. I feel like as adults, we need to also know their boundaries, but like...
You ever had a kid that's like, I don't want to hug Aunt Susie.
Then don't.
Then don't. It's okay.
Don't. That's just a boundary.
Right.
Yeah. And it's fine. You know? I just was thinking about the kid, like the opposite, where a kid's just going to come up and run up and be like, hey, like, that's, talking to someone.
That's because that was baby Susie.
That was me.
That was me too. I actually said this to a girl. I was talking about how everybody's different, and I was talking about when I was a kid, I was the same way. I would run up to, not necessarily run up, but I was very friendly. I'm like, hi, my name's Alex. Like, you want to be my friend, or you want to come play with me, or whatever.
Yeah.
We traveled all of the time when I was younger. I think I mentioned this in our first video that I think I've been to 13 states by the time I was 4.
Yeah.
So, like... And constantly on the go. Well, I had a leash. I loved
not
it.
Not the leash.
Yes, one of them was a monkey. And so it was like a little backpack.
Oh my goodness.
But because we went to Disney World for my mom's softball, three or four years in a row, and I was the kid that would, I would just see another kid, I'm like, oh, you look like fun, like, let me play with you, but we're in this huge place. So I definitely, I had a little monkey leash. I think I had a Looney Tunes one too.
Oh.
I can't remember. No. I don't know if that's a dream or not, but I do remember the I have pictures of me in the monkey one.
Oh my God.
Because I was, and like, where do you teach your kid of like, hey, like stranger danger, but also like, I want you to be young, wild and free.
I want you to be outgoing and, you know, extroverted, but also like,
hey, you can't run away in Disney World.
Yeah, don't go run away, like, or what?
Right, no, no, kids have boundaries, and then, well, we keep saying, like, boundaries aren't rude, and so I feel like probably both feel like maybe subliminal messaging, like, no, it, you need to go hug Aunt Susie because, like, that's the proper thing to do, that's the right thing to do, and it's like, I don't even know you, I don't even know you. So that wasn't necessarily a lot, that specific wasn't a lot in my family, but there were other things that I was like, I don't really want to do this, but I know it's the right thing to do. So,
yeah,
but that became stronger the older I got, if that makes sense. Anyway, but my boundaries with my family, I think moving away just helps in the sense of, one, there's already distance, but if you can't move away or you're not moving away, I think it is figuring out where your life starts. When will my life begin?
Yeah, and I mean, that was like super weird for me because I moved away to college and then moved back home. And like, here's the thing, like my parents set boundaries with me of saying, you know, like, this is their house, so they didn't want me like coming in at like 3 a.m. You know, whatever. Because it was their home, they're trying to sleep, whatever. I get it. That's fine. That's like if I were to have a roommate and then I'm like loud all the time and they're trying to sleep. I get it. But yeah, like there were certain things I was like, I want to know what it's like to pay my own bills. I want to know what it's like to do, you know, these things, or go have a drink with some friends if I want to, you know? And so it's just a weird time, especially in your 20s, you know? It's like, how do you navigate family when you grew up around them and they raised you, and how do you set boundaries? So those are some examples, I guess.
Yeah, I think this is something that you mentioned earlier, you're still navigating, and I think I'm still navigating and figuring out. I don't know. I feel like after, which we're going to get to this in just a second, but after I worked one of my jobs, like that almost became the defining factor of like, oh, wait. One of my jobs. Well, it was like my first job out of grad school, and it was extremely demanding, and I think that was kind of the switch with my family of like, I'm not a kid, but I'm not even in my like early 20s anymore. I'm not even this like almost not teenager. Like, I'm not even a young adult anymore.
Yeah.
I have a demanding job that I don't necessarily always can drop everything as much as I would love to. I don't have that time nor energy or space, and we don't, like, I don't live in the same town as anybody in my family, and so like we always have to drive everywhere, and that's great. Also, going back to the adult relationship, I love having that because that distance helped. It helped of like, this is my space, like, you're always more than welcome to come over, and I come over and things like that, but also, like, we both have our own bubbles.
Yeah.
And you're gonna do your thing, I'm gonna do my thing, we're gonna talk, we're gonna communicate, and all of that, but, when I had my first job, that was, like, I remember having a conversation, because I don't remember what happened, But I was like, I worked 60 hours this week, and all I want to go home is do and sleep.
Yeah.
I just want to go sleep.
Yeah.
Because I'm exhausted, and I'm tired, and I'm tired of blowing up my phone, and I think I had, like, put my phone on Do Not Disturb for the weekend or something like that, and, like, they were trying to get a hold of me, and of course, that's, like, irritating. I totally get it. And I remember having the conversation. I was so weird, irritated. I was like, I work all the time. I have to have my phone on for work. I did not necessarily crisis work, but I did. Basically, I had to be available. And there was crisis-related work, but I wasn't always on call. I was on call a couple of times, and that was...
But you had also just worked a ton, and you wanted a weekend.
Yeah. And so I was like, this is crazy. And so ever since then, it was like, hey, like, well, also I changed jobs because.
Let's segue into that. I was going to say.
Let me tell you, the idea of boundaries in your work area. Which we're going to do a whole episode about, like, because we've both changed jobs, changed careers, life at 18 didn't look like life I thought was going to be at 24, that didn't look like life I thought was going to be at 29. And it all started here. It all started with work boundaries. So with work boundaries, I think that is such a slippery slope. Because, like, we want to be a good worker. Like, you want to be, especially coming out of college. Like, college, we were like, yes, like, this is what you're going to do. This is, what you're going to show them. This is how you're going to interview. Like, you're kind of, like, trained and prepped to do all this stuff. And then you get in your interview, and you nail your interview, and then you get into the work. And then it's always striving for that next best thing. That next. Okay, you want to be the pop. Like, I was graded at one of my jobs. And so with that idea of you just need to be the best, you need to be the best. And it's, well, when you're the best, you keep getting more stuff put on top of you. And I remember, like, stating that a couple times at my job. And this was also, I sobbed in between sessions to my grandmother of just like, I don't know how much longer I can do this. Like, I'm at my limit. I'm exhausted all the time. I'm crying all the time. I didn't want to go and do, I had given up things. And like, there were certain things that I enjoyed doing. I was coaching during that time. I had to give up my team that I was coaching. And it was so devastating at that time, and it's probably one of the points that I was like, no, I mentioned this earlier and I'm going to say it again, if nobody's going to speak up for me if I don't speak up for myself. So I was like, no, like, this is not okay, I'm not okay. And here we are. And so that led me finally to leave and pursue something slightly different, but I still do therapy. It's complicated. We'll get there.
Yeah. Basically, most of my jobs have been in the industry, like the food industry. I'm a bartender, obviously. Man, if you work in the food industry, you know. If you know, you know. Like, you deal with customer service all the time, and then you're constantly dealing with, like, management and coworkers, and it's, like, a really big turnover and all of the things, and things are changing, and prices change, and menus change, and blah, 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 blah. And you deal with the backlash of that. And so, gosh, I am a huge advocate for, if you are not happy, if your mental health is plummeting, like, don't stay. Especially in a job like that. Honestly, like, I've left so many jobs because I didn't feel like I was a valued employee. And, like, you know, Like, to the point where I had a manager one time talk to me, and she was talking about me, but to me, and she didn't know my name. Did not know my name. And she was like, who is that girl? And she wears like the glasses. Her name starts with an S. And I'm like, that's me. She was talking good things about me, which is great. like I was a star employee. And I'm like, then you need to know who I am. And I had introduced myself to her before. Like I had said like, hey, how are you doing? You know, whatever. I'm Susanna. Like, nice to meet you. Welcome.
There's ways to sit there. Like, I'm the worst with names. Be like, hey, girl, how are you?
No, actually. I just started a new job, and I said that to one of my coworkers the other night. I was like, so I am terrible. Right. Like, just what is honest. Your name? I mean, yeah. Exactly.
Like,
exactly.
I am so sorry. Like,
I am terrible with
I'll
names.
Remember you until you're 80 exactly. years old. But can you remind me of your name?
I have to use the names, you know, like, to them. So anyway, that's just an example of just like, y'all, come on. And there were lots of things with that job, but I mean, in any job, you know, I haven't quit a lot. There have been two that I like actually quit because I was upset with the job. I mean, yeah.
I think I know.
Yeah, why. One of them, no, I literally wasn't viewed as an employee. I was viewed as someone closer than an employee. So, anyways, I'm not going to reveal that. But that's just, I was just like, yeah, no, then we're not doing this. Like, if I'm not viewed as a good worker, a valuable worker in this group, then I'm not gonna do that. And you know, here we are. If you are not feeling fulfilled in your line of work, like, you can always change. You can pivot. And we also talk about that in one of our episodes of career changes we love. And that's just a thing, like, especially in your 20s, you're figuring it out. You have this job and it's like, do I want to do this job? I got this major, but school is completely different than the actual job. Mm. Completely different. And so you may have liked the classes. You may have liked your classmates, but did you like your job?
Especially going through any type of schooling, whether you're going through a college or a post grad certification, or like, you know, anything, and feeling unsatisfied there, and then immediately getting thrown into a job that is, some jobs are just predatory. Like, yeah. I mean, I'll call a spade any day that they look for people in their 20s and that are broke and need a job, and they're like, well, I know that we can treat you however we want because you're not gonna leave.
He does. That's the biggest thing I feel like with some employers is the mindset of like, you need us. Mm-hmm. Like, you need us. Yes. And also, there are a ton of jobs out there.
There are a ton of jobs, and what is for you can avoid you. So.
Yeah. So real. So real. I am dealing with that right now. Yeah. I am getting things that are not avoiding me, which I love. So, yeah.
Yeah. No, the work one definitely hit me
super hard.
Like a Mack truck. Yeah. Because, like, you go in, I think what, like, I was prepared for the work, but I was not prepared for, I was always in such collaborative, even in like undergrad, grad school, we were always in such a collaborative, even with our professors. Our professors never took this like one-up approach. They were like, hey, like, we understand what you're going through. And like, they were hard and they would criticize, of course, or they would have constructive criticism. Let me rephrase that. They would have constructive criticism because they were in the field. So they're like, this is real life constructive criticism. But to experience just this kind of blanket, I don't even know what to call it. But that was 100% my first experience of like, no, we cannot live 10 years like this. I can't even live another year like this.
Oh my gosh. Speaking of that, like I've talked to so many people that feel like stagnant in their job.
That's a different topic for a different episode. Come back. Because we're talking about boundaries and now we're getting on to careers. But that's going to be a fun episode.
It will be.
So if you are in your 20s or 30s or 40s or 50s or 70s. If you,
or younger than 20, who knows?
Yeah, like if you are out there and you are questioning, what am I doing with my life? What am I doing with my career? What is a career?
You're going to need to hear that.
You come back. Because we're gonna cover that. All right, well, I guess that's that.
That's all we have for tonight. We are setting a hard boundary. Yes. It's almost two.
No, the battery is setting a hard boundary.
Yes.
All right, well, until next time, make sure to listen to us on Apple, Spotify, and YouTube.
Perfect.
Yes, until next time.
Yeah, stay groovy.
Bye.
Bye.